Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 1, in the History of the Life of Ajamila, Text 21. Kanyakube dvija kashchit dasi patir ajamilaha namna nashta sudacharo Dasya samsarga dushitaha. Kanya Kubje. In the city of Kanya Kubja. Kanauja. A town near Kanpur. Dvija. Brahmana. Kaschit. Some dasi puti pati, the husband of a low class woman or prostitute. Ajamilaha, Ajamila, namna, by name. Nashta sat acharaha, who lost all brahminical qualifications. Dasya, of the prostitute or maid servant. Samsarga dushitaha, contaminated by the association. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In the city known as Kanyakuja, there was a Brahmin named Ajamil who married a prostitute maidservant and lost all his brahminical qualities because of the association of that low-class woman. Please repeat. In the city known as Kanyakuja, there was a Brahmana named Ajamila who married a prostitute. Maidservant. And lost all his brahminical qualities because of the association of that low-class woman. Purport. The fault of illicit connection with women is that it makes one lose all brahminical qualities. In India, there is still a class of servants called Shudras, whose maidservant wives are called Shudranis. Sometimes people who are very lusty establish relationships with such maidservants and sweeping women. Since in the higher statuses of society, they cannot indulge in the habit of women hunting, which is strictly prohibited by social convention. Ajamila, a qualified Brahmana youth, lost all his brahminical qualities because of his association with a prostitute. But he was ultimately saved because he had begun the process of bhakti yoga. Therefore, in the previous verse, Shukadeva Goswami spoke of the person who has only once surrendered himself at the lotus feet of the Lord, Manakrishna Padaravindayo, or has just begun the bhakti yoga process. Bhakti yoga begins with Shravanam, Kirtanam Vishnu, hearing chanting of Lord Vishnu's name. As in the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This way we can say we've memorized a little bit of every purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Chanting is the beginning of bhakti yoga. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu declares, Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Hari Naima Vakevalam, Kalo Nashteva, Nashteva, Nashteva Gantiranyata. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. Krishna is the truth and the light, and no one comes to him except through Śrīla Prabhupāda. The process of chanting the holy name of the Lord is always superbly effective, but is especially effective in this age of Kali. Its practical effectiveness will now be explained by Shukadeva Goswami through the history of Ajamila, who was freed from the hands of the Yamadutas simply because of chanting the holy name of Narayana. Pariksha Maharaj's original question was how to be freed from falling down into hell or into the hands of the Yamadutas. In reply, Shukadeva Goswami is citing this old historical example to convince Pariksha Maharaj of the potency of Bhakti Yoga, which begins simply with the chanting of the Lord's name. All the great authorities of Bhakti Yoga recommend the devotional process beginning with the chanting of the holy name of Krishna, Tanama, Griha, Nadibi. Kanya kubje dvija kasche dasi patir ajamilaha namna nashta sadacharo dasya samsarga dushitaha. In the city known as Kanya kubja, there was a Brahmin named Ajamila who married a prostitute maidservant and lost all his Brahminical qualities because of the association of that low class woman. Namo Vishnu Vraya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutai Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tiramane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Vracharane Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paskyadhyade Satarane. In this verse is something about social pressure to follow regular principles, so that, as we can see, not only in the Western world, but even in India nowadays, that social pressure is rapidly diminishing. When I first came to India in 1974, I think 73, there was practically no advertisements. The airports looked like they were built by the Wright brothers, people who made the original airplanes. And everyone wore something like most people had, especially the ladies, had saris or something like a sari, and many of the men still had dhotis on. Now if you go to the airports, especially in the big cities, you find that all the advertisements are sometimes more degraded than the Western world. All the women and the men, they all have jeans on, and they're advertising all kinds of things. So what has made this rapid transformation, I think, is probably mostly television. The one-eyed guru. Because if you go to India, everywhere, especially in the cities, even when you go to a shack made out of paper, sticking out of the shack is a TV antenna. So everyone is watching television and following the example, Mahajana Yena Kata Savanta, of the Western propaganda to enjoy oneself in the material world. Now India, I believe, is the biggest consumer of the world of alcohol. The biggest exporter of leather, and it goes on. But still, there is some culture left. There's some idea that there is culture. When Gandhi went to England, then he was asked, "What do you think of British culture?" And as you probably heard, he said, "I think it would be a good idea." So the culture of the animals is not really culture. Now, without Krishna consciousness in this age, people don't know why they're following a certain culture. The basic principle is Vishaya Vinivartante Nirharasya Sidehinam Rasavarjam Rasopyasya Param Drishva Nivartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains, but ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, then one becomes fixed in consciousness. So fixing our consciousness, Savayamana Krishna, Padara Vindayo, our consciousness, our mind, is the basic principle of either going to the spiritual world or going down to the lower regions of existence. Now, in the absence of becoming conscious of Krishna, then we have no alternative but to seek happiness in some other way. And generally speaking, it always winds up in the same thing. After eating, there's sleeping, then there's sex, and then they're just defending. It's just a natural sequence. And because people don't know, Natevidu Swarthagatim Hivishnu, they don't know that the goal is to obtain Krishna, therefore Dharashyaye Bahya Arthamanina. Something insignificant they take is very significant. Tuchava, according to the six Goswamis. But without experiencing the happiness of Krishna consciousness, it only remains a theory. Even at the beginning of Bhakti Yoga, it is not that everyone is ecstatic all the time. I believe that often Krishna gives us some higher taste to encourage us at the beginning. And then by the time we get a little encouraged, we also get puffed up, thinking I'm Krishna's gift to the Hare Krishna movement. By my mercy, it's being sustained. And then we get into conflicts with the other people who also think that they're God's gifts to the Hare Krishna movement. And we wind up in the modes of nature again. But because we have some experience of some higher taste, therefore that may sustain us for some time. The nature of the material energy is forgetfulness. That the more we become attracted to the material energy, then the more lust, greed, anger covers us, the more we enter into a life of delusion. Of course, our lives are already, to some extent, a combination of Krishna consciousness and delusion. But if we go more on the side of delusion, then we go less on the side of Krishna consciousness, and from delusion comes forgetfulness. Daksha, after losing his head and getting a goat's head, didn't last very long. I guess he died of embarrassment. Imagine if they had a Facebook page. If Daksha had a Facebook page. I had a little surgery on my face, and this is what I look like now. My appetite increased. I can eat anything. But he died of embarrassment. Practically speaking, he came back sometime later, because time seems to us is very relative, but he came back, would be seemingly a long time later, but I guess in his existence it wasn't so long. And he came back as Daksha again. He had asked for forgiveness from Lord Shiva. He had actually developed some affection for Lord Shiva. He left his body, came back as Daksha. And this time he decided to undergo great austerity and penance to get Lord Vishnu's favor, so he could propagate the universe again, because that was his service to Lord Brahma. He underwent great austerities and penances, so great he became eligible to chant certain mantras that attracted Lord Vishnu and the demigods to come and see him. Lord Vishnu came riding on the back of Garuda, and in Lord Vishnu's presence there is so much transcendental pleasure that Daksha, experiencing the great ecstasy, had to practically sit down. He couldn't stand in such ecstasy. And when Lord Vishnu came and asked him what he wanted as a benediction, he said, "Give me unlimited sex life." He could have asked, let me go back to the spiritual world or just a little bit more ecstasy. No, he wanted sense gratification. So what to speak of poor us? How much ecstasy have we experienced in Krishna consciousness? And how much ecstasy do we believe actually exists in Krishna consciousness? Therefore, at least, if one practices Krishna consciousness, it is considered to be just like being 1 inch above the ocean of material existence. Now, 1 inch above the ocean of material existence is not very far. There's always the danger of falling 1 inch and then dropping into the ocean of material existence. So it's not a very comfortable position. But it's better than drowning in the ocean. Therefore, one should always remember what is our actual position so that we don't let our minds tell us, oh, relax, all these rules and regulations, they're so strict. You've been following them so long, you can relax. And then we relax and we're back in the material ocean, 1 inch below. Drowning in the ocean of material misery. And the devotional service comes in three different stages in general, according to the nectar of devotion, or the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. There's two qualities of devotional service and the mode of, in the sadhana bhakti. There's two in bhava bhakti, and then there's two in prema bhakti. Of course, between bhava bhakti and prema bhakti, we may think it's very short, but actually, in every stage of devotional service, there's quite a bit of distance. And what to speak of between sadhana and bhava. This is a whole seminar called Shraddha to Prema. But the two qualities in sadhana bhakti, sadhana goes all the way up to bhava bhakti. Of course, there's a stage of sadhana bhakti, which is raganuga sadhana bhakti, at the stage of ruchi and asakti, nishta, ruchi, asakti, that one is actually has the taste and attachment for Krishna. But still, one is obliged to follow the rules and regulations, at least of raganuga sadhana bhakti. Especially the hearing and chanting about Krishna are always important to maintain contact with Krishna. But in any case, there are two qualities in sadhana bhakti, and we have so many scholars here, I'm sure everyone knows what they are. So we won't call on anyone particularly, we'll ask for a volunteer. What's the first quality? What's that? Klesha Agni. Agni Klesha, the fire of misery. No. Klesha Agni. And the other one? The quality of Baba, of Son of Baba, the misery we get from. Klesha Agni. What's the other one? Subhada, yes. Otherwise, we're going to take away your Bhakti Shastri. That should be part of Bhakti Shastri. And so what does Subhada mean? Does it?
Auspicious.
Yes. Well, yes, auspicious. Of which one quality is happiness. What's the other? There are three other qualities of Subhada. Yes.
Good qualities.
Yeah.
Good qualities, so the attractiveness and the kindness would be the other.
It's all auspicious. It gives one all good qualities. It gives a higher taste than material sense gratification. And gives one all auspicious qualities. It gives one auspicious qualities. So this is sadhana bhakti. So what is sadhana bhakti exactly? What's the difference between sadhana bhakti? How does a kanista adhikari, when he performs sadhana bhakti, what is he trying to achieve? What level is he trying to achieve? Or what level does a kanista adhikari act on when he's performing sadhana bhakti in order to get free from being a kanista adhikari? What's that? Which is the beginning of what? It's the beginning of Madhyama Adhikari, acting on the Madhyama Adhikari platform. In other words, we have, according to the Padma Purana, what does the spiritual master teach one? This is a nectar devotion class, by the way. Because it teaches us a lot. But what is the basic principle of sadhana bhakti? Yes. Smarta vyaksadatam vishnu vismartak jatunakinchit sarva vidhi nisedyasyora atyar eva kinkara. That to always remember Krishna and never forget him, this is the rule and this is the regulation of all the scriptures. Savayamana Krishna Padaravindaya. So, for our first business is to fix our mind upon Krishna. And in order to fix our mind upon Krishna, our first business is to fix our mind upon the Acharya in the simple succession. Because without hearing the instructions of the Acharya, and example, and seeing, remembering the example of the Acharya in the simple succession, how are we going to fix our mind upon Krishna? It just doesn't happen spontaneously. It happens by the following surrender to the spiritual masters, the acharyas, and disciple succession. And that business is Ishvare Tadadineshu Balisesu Dvisatsu Cha Prema Maitri Kripopeka Yakkaroti Samadhimaha. We have to act on the Madhyam Adhikari platform. We have to see if what I'm doing is actually trying to please Krishna, is actually following Krishna's instructions. Am I actually trying to develop prema for Krishna as my goal? Or we said in another class, worship Krishna. What am I trying to do by this activity? Get the job done, chant my rounds so I can develop, stroke up the fire of Chatta Agni in my stomach and have a good breakfast. Is that the goal? No, it's actually, prema is our goal. And prema means service to Krishna. It just doesn't mean I love Krishna. It means we have to serve Krishna under the guidance of Krishna's representatives. And part of that is following sadhana bhakti. And we serve Krishna in the association of devotees. Sitam prasangam amavirya sambhido. Without the association of devotees, it'll be extremely difficult. Most of us are not Haridas Thakur. We weren't born as Shukadeva Goswamis. And therefore we have in our mind millions of desires and ideas which are not very favorable for pure devotional service. But the association of devotees, we can make progress. Satam prasangam amavirya samvido. Therefore we learn how to associate with the devotees. That's an art. That's one of the principal arts that I described in Nectar of Instruction, how to associate with the devotees. And when we engage in the six loving exchanges with the devotees appropriately, then gradually we become inspired that actually it's nice to associate with devotees. They're all good people. They're not only good people, they're Krishna's representatives. They can benedict everyone by their association. And therefore, when we actually like to associate with devotees, we go out and tell other people about it by helping the innocent to try to get them into association also. If we're fighting with the devotees, then of course we may go out and try and get some innocent people to join our side to fight against the other devotees. But that would not be very auspicious. And then there is a whole ocean of people trying to distract other people from Krishna. We're a very small group. Our influence is very tiny. But there's a huge influence trying to distract everyone from Krishna. We sell a few books, like yesterday, I think we sold 200 and something. But how many books did Amazon.com sell yesterday? We don't announce their scores because So who's winning the war against Maya? Well, who's on Maya's side? Who's winning the war? Maya, or are we winning? Well, of course, the difference is, Prabhupada said, if you light a match in a dark room, the darkness can't put out the match. So our activities are eternal when we're distributing transcendental knowledge, and the materialist activities are just temporary. Of course, temporary means they're sending people to go down to become ants and frogs temporarily. And in a few billion years, they'll come back and get another chance again. But it's all temporary. You become a frog, you're not a frog forever, luckily. Therefore, there's a whole ocean of people trying to distract our minds from Krishna, and we're supposed to become, either defeat them, which is, our victories are going to be quite small nowadays, or we just ignore them, try to become detached from them, not become influenced by them. If we're acting on that platform, then we're acting as on the Madhyama Adhikari platform, and on that platform, then we can actually experience happiness in Krishna consciousness, because then we can actually be Krishna conscious. And there are five powerful activities that when we're performing with intensity on the Madhyama Adhikari platform can actually give us a taste of ecstasy. What are those five powerful activities? Okay. Powerful activity? Ladies, you can get two. What's that? Chanting, yes. Chanting the holy names. And what other powerful activity? That's number two for a holy place. All right. Ljubljana Temple. Okay. Okay. Was it reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita? Okay. Okay. It's somewhere. Yeah. What's that? Deity worship. Okay, we're one short. Yes. Serving the devotees, yes. So, these are powerful processes. And if we're performing them on the Madhyama Adhikari platform, we can experience some transcendental happiness. Because we're not doing it with material motives, we're doing it with spiritual consciousness. Then one can come eventually to the liberated platform, and on the liberated after the liberated platform of nishta, then there's a taste that develops. And from that nishta and taste and attachment, then one is more or less more on the safe side than on, it's more some few feet above the water than rather an inch. And there's very little possibility of falling into the material existence again. Ajamiya was just an inch above the material existence because he was a neophyte devotee, wasn't so familiar with the techniques of devotional service. But on Ruchi and Bhav and Asakti, then there's very little opportunity to leave one's consciousness, to leave the association of Krishna. And then when we get two qualities on the Bhava Bhakti, which are? Yes? Very rare. And the other one? Yes, so. Rarely achieved. Why is it rarely achieved? That sounds quite discouraging. Can you find someone in this universe on Baba Bhakti? Yes, but he left. It's rarely achieved because hardly anyone, rarely compared to the vast number of living entities in this universe, because most living entities had no interest in achieving Krishna consciousness. But it's expected that one who sincerely follows sadhana bhakti will eventually come to the platform of nishta, and then devotional service becomes spontaneous, and so bhava bhakti is just a question of time. And moksha lagu krit, it puts to shame the idea of liberation, because if liberation, as Prahlad Maharaj said, if the happiness and liberation were multiplied 10 billion times, it wouldn't equal to an atomic fraction in one drop in the ocean of devotional service. So we can stop the class and let you meditate on that for a while. Comparison between liberation and pure devotional service. I'll say that again. First of all, we have to say that the happiness on this planet, to give the maximum estimation on this planet, which means probably the Sunday feast, if that's multiplied 100 times, that equals to the normal happiness on Indraloka. And if the happiness on Indraloka is multiplied 100 times, that would equal to the happiness on Maharloka. And that happiness was multiplied 1,000 times, equal to the happiness in Janaloka, Tapaloka, or Siddhaloka. And if that happiness was multiplied 1,000 times, would equal to the happiness on Brahmaloka. And if the happiness on Brahmaloka was multiplied 1,000 times, that would equal to the happiness in Brahman. And if the happiness in Brahman were multiplied 100 billion times, that wouldn't equal to an atomic fraction in one drop in the ocean of devotional service. So it's something to look forward to. The relative happiness, the happiness at sadhana bhakti, which gives one sudurlabha, subhada, means that it gives us enough happiness that we're not attracted so much to material sense gratification. But the happiness in bhava bhakti is so great that it seems insignificant. Material existence in bhava bhakti seems more like a dream. Just like now in material existence, when we're neophyte devotees, Krishna consciousness appears to be like a dream. But on the bhava bhakti platform, material existence seems like a dream, which is actually what it is. Bad dream. Nightmare, more or less. But bhava is only one ray in the sunlight of prema. So prema has two more qualities, which are, someone else, you get an extra samosa today. You can treat yourself to an extra samosa, if there is one. Yes. Yes. What is the Sanskrit for attraction? Krishna Karshini. And what's the next one? How much happiness is there in prema? What's that? Sundarananda Vishayatma. That there's so much happiness that a bhava bhakti, material existence, seems like a dream. And in prema bhakti, there is no material existence. It's only spiritual existence. Just like Gaura Kishore Das Babaji, some little children were throwing rocks at him. This is in, I guess, Vrindavan. And his servant tried to shoo them away. But he said, no, this is Krishna. This is just the coward boys playing with me. Anyway, he's taking prasad, and these little puppies came over and were eating from his plate. And his servant tried to shoo them away. He said, no, these are residents of Vrindavan. Just leave them. It would be offensive to get them away from my plate. So this is prema bhakta. Prema bhakti. There is no material existence. There's only, everything is spiritual. I can't imagine that. Maybe someone here can, but. In any case, the Ajamya wasn't quite on the liberated platform. And we ourselves may not be on the liberated platform either. The history of ISKCON is not the history of a one-way ticket back to the spiritual world. It's not that everyone who chants and suddenly little Vaikuntha airplanes come and take us back one by one. How many rounds of chants? 16, okay. Well, there it is. As I said, when we're 1 inch, as long as we come on chanting, we stay 1 inch, and as soon as we... forever! Help! The history of Ajamil is the history of someone who began devotional service, later on became attracted to material nature, but still the chanting saved him at the time of death. Why at the time of death? Because at the time of death, we become fearful, and according to who we take shelter of, that's where we're going to go. If we get enough experience of taking shelter of Krishna, that in a fearful situation, we take shelter of him with full determination, like Ajamil did. Because sometimes we hear he was calling for his son. But acharyas say that actually he began to remember his previous association with Vishnu when he was a dutiful Brahmin. And therefore he was actually calling out for the Narayan. And therefore the Yamadutas came. The Vishnudutas came to save him. Of course this is in response to the previous... Not exactly. I'm sure Shukadeva Goswami wasn't like, you know, chapters, you know. Thus end Canto 5 of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Pariksit Maharaj goes, wow, I wonder what's in Canto 6. I hope we get through the whole Bhagavatam before I gotta leave. I do have an appointment with death. So it's a continuous flow from the fifth canto where the horrors of hell are described, and Pariksit Maharaj, being a soft-hearted Vaishnava, wanted to know if there was some way to save people from hell, and this will glorify the holy name. But the holy name, not just negligently chanted, as we can see, that it's not so easy to chant the holy name with feeling. And the whole science of Krishna consciousness is to help us live our lives in such a way as it's much more likely that we'll learn how to chant with feeling, not just a little bit, but 24 hours a day, eventually. But that takes knowledge, it takes understanding, it takes spiritual advancement, it takes Krishna's compassion and mercy. But here it's revealed, the wonders of the chanting of the holy name, to give us some inspiration to keep on chanting, although sometimes we may find ourselves, or maybe sometimes, usually we find ourselves in difficulty, and our mind will say, well, you're not qualified to chant. You're a rascal. And we go, yeah, I'm a rascal. I'm going to become more, I can't chant, so I might as well become more of a rascal. So that's how our mind misleads us. Yeah, I'm a rascal. Let me become a bigger rascal. No, one should keep on, one should chant the holy, learn how to chant the holy name, chant the holy name, and although sometimes one may get into difficulty, one should keep on chanting and following the principles, and then eventually one may get the full mercy of Krishna. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Rainer Srup, Prabhu has made a statement that one should complete one's anarthana vritti in 5 to 10 years. Otherwise, one gets bogged down in the struggle.
You got 5 years, folks. I don't think it's very reasonable. Ask Ravindra Srup Prabhu now what he thinks of his 5-year limit, time limit. 5 to 10. I ask him about the 10-year time limit, see what he says now. Maybe he probably had a good day or something. Yes.
Can you give us some tips for making advancement in spiritual life?
What do you think I'm giving the class for? What is that? What else is the class about? What kind of tip do you want? Faster? Well, that's Rupa Goswami tells us, if we really want faster. I mean, there's so many. I guess the best thing is Janmaishvarya Shuta Shibira Edamanaksama Pumaksuman. Janmaishvarya Shuta Shibira Edamanak. Madaksuma. No, that's not right. What's the word? Madakpuma. Madness. Naivahartu vatu vai, tvamakinchana gochara. Give up this idea that we're going to make material advancement. Namely, that wealth will make us more secure or happy. If I get more material, more influence, I'll become better or more satisfied. If I get more material understanding of how to work in the material world, my problems will be solved. All these material, these ideas of material advancement, we give them up, then we'll have room to concentrate on trying to spiritually advance. And the best thing is put ourselves in some situation where we're forced to depend upon Krishna. Without that, being forced to depend upon Krishna, we get spiritually lazy, and we forget to depend upon Krishna, and therefore we become attracted to becoming happy materially. Therefore, Harinam, book distribution, prasadam distribution, reading Prabhupada's books, go through the austerity of the morning program, whatever else. Rely upon Krishna when we're doing these things. We rely upon Krishna's representatives, Prabhupada's instructions, so we can serve the other devotees. And the other devotees' instructions are repeating Prabhupada's instructions in disciple succession. So if we do that, then we should see that we're making advancement. Or as Krishna says, because Arjuna had the same problem we all have. So Krishna summed it up in two things. He gave Arjuna two tips. Asam shams amahavaho namo nirgraha shalam abhyasena dukontiya vairagena chukriyate. It's undoubtedly difficult to curb the restless mind, Arjuna, but it's possible by suitable practice and by detachment. Yes. Give up the goal, make our goal to go back to the spiritual world, to be with Krishna and serve Him, and practice, learn how to practice Sadhana Bhakti better. Yes?
When you were mentioning Daksha, we know that Darshan of Krishna can be achieved only.
What was that? The highest level.
Yes.
Because we get darshan every day, but that's Prabhupada's mercy. Krishna. I mean, the actual shakshat darshan of Krishna.
Yes. Yeah. So how come at that highest level of spiritual development he had such insignificant material desires?
He got the same darshan as we get. In other words, there's a difference between seeing Krishna in full consciousness of one's spiritual identity. That's actually, you get the complete Krishna. And we also see Krishna. I mean, the deities are non-different from Krishna. This is actually the Panchatattva there, and we're seeing them and experiencing them to different degrees. But when we're actually in our spiritual body, then we'll see them completely different than we see them now. So he saw a Vishnu, he was in ecstasy, and compared to us, that's a much higher platform. But that's not the highest platform of experiencing Krishna. Just be in ecstasy. If ecstasy is multiple, if one bhava, which is ecstasy, spiritual feeling, is only one ray in the sunlight of prema. So one has to come to prema bhakti to actually directly see Krishna. Yes.
At the level of Bhagavati, anarthas are destroyed, and some fixedness, some pain, these stages of.
Well, he did. That's when one is situated in Bhava Bhakti. He wasn't situated in Bhava Bhakti. He was experiencing some Bhava. There's a difference. Just like we can experience some Bhava, and that will elevate us to some degree, but that doesn't mean we're on that platform. Being on that platform means you're steadily on that platform. The proof that he wasn't on the platform was a few moments later, he was on another platform. All right, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande.